Life is real. Life is earnest, wrote the poet many years ago. However, the most difficult job for everyone in life is to adjust to this reality of life. And the most efficient way of adjusting to this reality is the practice of the Alcoholics Anonymous axiom, live and let live. In order to be able to more clearly understand this principle, let's take a look for just a moment at some background material. Now, everyone here has lived a few years anyway. At least we have existed. But I wonder how many of us in the days of our drinking actually lived. It was purely a very meager existence. Dr. Bell of Toronto, Canada, defines loneliness in the following way. He says loneliness may be defined as whenever a person thinks he is above the group or below the group or is fighting against the group. And when he gave that definition, I, for the first time, realized why I, 20 years ago in New York City, with 7 million people around, was one of the most lonely people in all the world. Because at that time, when I was dry, and I didn't like it, I felt myself very much outside the group, beneath the group, and I was fighting the group. Now let's start at the beginning of this thing we call life. The first thing that happened to you in this world was that you were born. You didn't choose that, neither did I. But we had to take it. We had to accept the birth that we had, and we had to, in the same circumstances, accept the parents that happened to be our own parents. We didn't decide who our parents were going to be either. We also didn't choose the circumstances of our birth. Some of us were born into riches, some into poverty, some sickly, some healthy. But irrespective of what the circumstances into which we were born, we didn't choose it. We didn't even choose the location of our birth. Maybe we were born in this state or another state. Maybe some of us were not even born in this country. That we did not choose. And all these circumstances of our lives we cannot change. But taking it on from there, with the birth I have been given, the parents that were mine with its heredity, the circumstances of the social order into which I was born, and the location, then I can begin to live. In other words, I must begin to live with what is in my reach, lest I be above the group or below the group, or lest I be induced to fight the group. Now, there's several types of life in man. First, there's the physical life. And we have an obligation, because we have a body, to care for that body. We also have a mental life. And because we have intelligence, we have an obligation to take care of that intelligence, to learn, to study, to practice good mental hygiene. We also have emotional life. Now, the emotional life of a person is that connecting point between the mental thought through the physical nerve system into the external world and back again. That causes the emotional life of man. I might make a remark at this point that I don't like at all the use of the term mental illness so widespread today. I was talking to the psychiatrist, the staff, at the State Hospital in Michigan a few months ago, and I tried to bring out to them, and later on they admitted the truth of the matter, that 90% of the patients in that hospital, there was nothing wrong with their mind. They were emotionally ill. But the difficulty comes when such a person comes to me or to the doctor or to you for help. It takes months and months to convince the poor fellow or the poor gal, there's nothing wrong with your mind. It's all in your emotion. But we hear the term mental illness, psychosis, and right away, whenever there's an emotional difficulty involved in our personality, then we immediately conclude, there's something wrong with my mind. I must be nuts. I must be screwy. I must be mentally ill. Then there's the spiritual side of man. The spiritual life of man is his personal relationship with God as he understands it. The moral life has to deal with his relation to the laws of God and man. That gives us our moral life. Now all of this, the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, the moral, go into one unit to form the total personality, which I call me. And each one of you can say the same. You today, as you are sitting here this evening, are the direct or indirect result of your ancestors, your parents, plus the mind, the intelligence you had, and how much you used it or did not use it, plus the body that you were given at birth, and the care or lack of care it got, and your soul and belief and the practice and the training that give the depth of belief which you have today. This is you. And with this you, we have to begin to live. Now we do that first in using all positive actions possible and all positive thinking possible in order to destroy the negative life within ourselves. Now the very term negative, negate, means to kill, to destroy. Therefore, all my negative thinking, all my negative actions tend to destroy this personality. Now, how do I know when I have negative thinking? Well, I have negative thinking and I have negative actions whenever I say I ain't, I can't, I won't, I don't. When do I have positive actions? When I say I can, I am, I will, I do. And there's the difference between the personality in man that is controlled and adapted to its surrounding and the personality that is gradually destroyed in some type of either deep or slight emotional illness. How do I use my mind positively? By study, learning, meditation. The 11th step of AA says we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. Therein we improve both our intelligence and the soul that God has given us. How do I take care of the body properly? By taking care of it in a rational manner. The soul by prayer, faith, and the practice of charity. So therefore, if I want to ask myself, am I living? I can find out very easily whether I really am living or only existing. Am I learning? Am I trying to learn? Am I at least occasionally involved in some kind of study that will add to my knowledge and to the discipline of my intellect and will? If I am, I am living mentally. Or am I, on the other hand, negative. Am I the kind of a fellow or gal today who has to be entertained all the time? Who doesn't have the effort to put forth in honest to God meditation or study or learning or whatever it may be to improve the mind? Then am I living spiritually? Well, I can ask myself, do I pray? Am I trying to increase the faith that God gave me? Am I practicing actions of charity to my fellow man? Am I trying to become God-dependent instead of self-sufficient? You know, the Big A book tells us, self-sufficiency is fine as far as it goes. But the time comes into every life when self-sufficiency is no longer sufficient to solve the problem at hand. And then alone do we turn to a power greater than ourselves, and we learn to become God-dependent. That's the ultimate aim of the healthy, living personality who finds his life and his being in dependency on a power outside of himself, a power greater than himself, power which we in the 12 steps call God, as we each understand it. Now that's so much for me. If I do that, I will grow and my personality will take form and shape and stability. But there's another factor in life. The other factor is that there are, I don't know how many, but several billion people in the world besides me. And that's where most of my trouble comes from. And AA tells me, here I must let live. Because if I have the right to live, then I have an obligation to let them live their lives in their way. And because there's so many millions of people in the world, we're going to have friction. Why? Because each one of those individuals have a total different background than I have. Different birth, different parents, different ancestors, different society or social position to which they were born, different financial means in the world, different location, different shape, different size, and what have you. And because of these differences, there's bound to be friction between people and people. Because since there are people, there involves the right for them to live the same as I have the right to live. Now, how do I control that in my own personality? How do I prevent these people from upsetting or damaging or destroying this personality that I'm trying to live? Well, AA tells us, let live. Let them live their own life. Now, how do we do that? First, mentally. Okay, they have their own opinions, but let them have their own opinions. No business of mine. Let them live. If they have certain type thinking, let them have that type thinking. That's none of my business. I have a right to think my own thoughts. They have a right to think their own thoughts. Let them live. Then physically. The other people may be poor, hungry, but I must give them the right to earn a living wage. That's what's behind this law that all nations today who have any idea of justice recognizes that every human being has the right to a living wage. Then emotionally, if the other guy blows up and explodes and blows his top, let him blow his top. It's not my top he's blowing. And if I have a right to blow my top on occasion, he's got a right to blow his top on occasion. Let him live his own life. Moral. The sins of others. And here so many get into trouble. Oh, look what they're doing. Well, let them do it. If they're doing something immoral, we have no right to interfere if we're not policemen. It's none of our business. Let them live their own life. You hear a lot of that, you know, what are they what they're doing? They're going to ruin it. They're going to ruin it if they can. They're not the first ones who tried. You know, we have a very great protection in AA. We have no authority, we have a dictator. You know who the dictator in AA is? That little bottle. It'll take its own toll. If anyone is not working the program, therefore, let them work it in their way. Irrespective of what we might think should be the way that it should be worked. Then spiritually. Again, let everyone live their own life instead of this idea of the damn Protestants and the damn Catholics and the damn Jews. Who am I to judge? Let them live. Because he believes different than I, that doesn't make him different from me. We are all human beings. Members of this great human race, children of the same God. So if he believes that, let him believe it. Oh, what tolerance we could learn in this letting live in regard to bigotry and religion. And on both sides of the fence, we're both responsible, Catholics, Protestants, and Jews. If we'd only get the idea and the attitude and the conviction that if he believes that way, that's his business, none of mine. How much less friction there would be in the world. Let them live. It's their own life. In other words, this is the basis of all true tolerance. If I want to be tolerant in life, all I have to do is adapt this principle once and for all, live and let live. And I won't have any trouble with intolerance. Now let's take a few examples to see how this works out in everyday living. First, in all family life, one of the most important ingredients for marriage and family life is live and let live. If I am the husband in a family, I should live the life that a good husband should live, but I should permit the wife to live her life. If she has eccentricity, so have you. If she does screwy things, so do you. Let her live. Contribute our part, but don't damn their part. As long as what the husband does, or what the wife does, or what the children do is not immoral, let them go.
Once again, it's really none of my business. And even a more practical attitude can't do anything about it
anyway. I can't change the other one. You know the old idea, the prayer we say, God grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And you know what that wisdom is to a great extent? That wisdom is to realize once and for all that all things outside of ourselves, 99% we can't change. All things inside ourselves, 99% we can change. So in the family, let them go. I can change my attitudes inside. And that eliminates friction. You know, the trouble with so many people in the home, particularly a mother or father, they're determined to make their children happy in their way. Same factor comes into play when our children are about to venture on the sea of matrimony. Whether they have chosen a skiff or an ocean liner, that doesn't make any difference. As long as there's no serious moral issue involved, let them go. Let them choose with whom they're going to spend the rest of their life in this world. After all, they have a right to live. Let them live. Then in business, I have a right to make a living. But I also have the obligation to let the other fellow make a living. And here again we have the evil of a monopoly. Why is a monopoly wrong? Because a monopoly by its very concept denies the right to someone else to make a living because they have monopolized all potential in that area. So in business, I have a right to live, but I have an obligation to let the other man live. And then in our mental living, the life of our intellect, our intelligence, live, read, study, learn. That's using intelligence. At the same time, I must let the views of others be tolerated. We have so much criticism of the views of others. Let them go. As long as there's nothing, once more, I repeat it, seriously, morally involved, and as I mentioned before, moral life has to do with laws. The laws of God are the laws of man. As long as there's no serious moral problem involved, let them think what they will. Let them have whatever view they want. That's their right. Then in our social life, live, contribute to the community instead of running away from the community. Take part in community life, in social life, in the associations and so forth, whatever may be there in our community. And at the same time, let others live. Let our neighbors live their lives instead of snooping on them all the time. Instead of condemning their eccentricities and what have you. Let them live. So they're eccentric. So am I. I'd rather be an eccentric normal than be an abnormal normal person. Now that don't make sense to you. It doesn't to me either, but I think it does. Then our emotional life. Live. We learn to live emotionally when we express ourselves, whether that's in words, intelligence, or actions, to express. Live outside of ourselves. And then we learn to control the various emotional factors that come into our daily lives on the emotional phase of life. And here, one of the most useful outlets for emotional difficulty is a good hobby. Now that might sound very trite, but it is very true. The man or the woman who has a good hobby will have much less chance of contracting emotional difficulties than the person who does not have a hobby. A hobby is an outlet, and we must have an outlet for our emotional side of the picture. You know, nature has given us tears. That's a natural outlet for emotional tension. And yet how many foolishly teach their children it's weakness to cry? That's as bad as teaching them it's a weakness to go to the John every day. That's the normal outlet of emotion that nature has given us. And I think in our modern society, the holding back of outlets of this type has caused much friction has caused many emotional problems. Then in our spiritual and moral life, live. In other words, we don't live spiritually unless we have a habit of prayer. Now, you're not going to get a habit of prayer unless you make one. Make up our minds, first of all, we are going to have a habit of prayer and then do something about it. Then we are living spiritually. I'm not going to tell you how to pray. That's up to each individual. But to pray is one of the first essentials to live spiritually. Because by prayer, I contact the deity. God comes into my life, and then I become God-dependent. And if I'm God-dependent, there's not many things in this world that's going to throw me. To increase my belief in that God as I understand Him. I won't do that unless I take action on it. Practice it. Trust in God. I won't trust in God unless I place actions of trust in God. Use God. You know, it's so foolish not to use God in our everyday actions. What's wrong with bringing God into business, into our social life, into our pleasures and our pains and whatever else may come along to bring God into the picture? God's there for the asking. That's the firepower of the soul, the use of God. In this age, when we hear about firepower on all sides, the atomic bomb and so forth, and the hydrogen bomb and what have you, God is omnipotent. He is your firepower if you use Him. And unless we use Him, we don't live spiritually. We're dead spiritually. Then also let live. And this has to do with others. If they're doing wrong, let them do wrong. None of my business. Again, I say unless I'm a policeman. So they've committed terrible sins, let them commit terrible sins. What does AA tell us about that? There but for the grace of God go I. Let them live in their own way. Let them into the hands of God. He can do a better job with them than you can anyhow. Let them go. Then in our AA life, and here again we don't get out of AA what we should get out of AA because we have never learned to live AA, day in and day out. The 12 steps, for example, each one of them contributes a certain amount to our solidity of living, our stability of life. Each one of those steps leads us to adjustment to reality. From the first admission that we can't drink, that our lives are unmanageable, until the final step, we try to carry this message to other alcoholics and practice these principles in all of our affairs. Now notice that word practice. That means use. Day in and day out, the principles we learned at the meetings. We learned on our 12-step calls. We learn from our discussion and association with other members of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's living as a member of AA. That's living a sober life. Then the meetings. I'm not living AA if I don't attend the meetings. That's part of it. 12-step calls contribute towards the life of an AA. Soberly. And at the same time, I should learn to let the other guy or gal in AA live his life as he has chosen. You know, it's so silly. When you see somebody or hear somebody come say, "Ah, look so-and-so, look how he's using the program. Why stand sober? Let him go." Or they say, "Oh, he's only never taken the first step." Well, let him go, he stands sober. That's all AA's supposed to give us, basically, sobriety. After all, we're not out saving souls. We just ring them out. Let every other member of AA stay sober in their way, and if they are staying sober in their way, they are a good member of AA. I don't care what else they may be doing. Because they are sober and they are in AA. So let them live their life. Live and let live. There's a television program which I think most of you are acquainted with. Dr. Ben Casey. You know, they begin that program with the following. Man, woman, birth, life, death, infinity. And there you have it. We are a product of our birth, which comes from the man and the woman who were our parents, and we have picked up all the circumstances that were present when we were born, and that is the only thing we can start with to begin to live our life and then permit other people to live their life and through that to proceed on into eternity. Positive life is doing things. Positive life is I do, I can, I will, I am. Negative life is I ain't, I can't, I won't, I don't. But let us never forget that the greatest security against emotional troubles in life that will keep us from losing that sanity that was given back to us by this power greater than ourselves is learning to live and let live. And so there you have it. I hope everyone here goes to their homes, to their jobs, to their everyday activities to live. And I hope in the living, you also let everybody else live. If you and I do that, then someday, when we come to die, we can look back and find that we have formed in ourselves the total personality as God intended. Because God has intended a little bit different life in this world for every human being. Each human being is a part of God's total masterpiece. And therefore you have the lights and the shadows. You have the high points. You have the darkness. You have all types of life because it is a total composite picture of humanity. And that is his masterpiece. But we will only fill our niche in this masterpiece if we learn to live and let live. And may God bless you all, and thanks for listening.